Time of the year. I'd invite you to reach for a Bible and let's open together to Luke chapter 2. We're going to dip into a little bit of the familiar Christmas story this morning. My guess is, I was thinking like the next 60 hours will be like 60 hours of craziness for a lot of us, right? Because we're going to probably get, you know, have all these Christmas things that we will do. Christmas is a special time for me. For a couple reasons, of course, you know, because Jesus came. But also, I met my wife at a Christmas party 40 years ago last Monday. And 40 years ago yesterday, first kiss. Yeah, okay. God is so good. But when we first came together as a couple and then we got engaged and like Christmas is coming. Actually, we met on a Christmas and we were married by the following Christmas. We had to like talk about like how are we going to do this? See, because she grew up in a tradition where gifts were exchanged on Christmas Eve. And that's just wrong. See, because in my household, we were deeply informed by the night before Christmas and all through the house, you know, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse, and I'd keep going. But you know the deal, right? Fat guy comes down the chimney. Christmas presents show up after kids are in bed, having put out milk and cookies for Santa, and you come down Christmas morning and the presents are there, right? Anybody with me? That's the right way to do it. And so when she had this alternative, I said, how does that possibly work with kids? And she said, oh, we figured out when we got a little older, my sister and I, but the deal was Christmas Eve, we would have supper, and then mom and dad would say, come on, kids, let's get in the car and go drive around. They lived in the city. Let's go drive around and look at Christmas lights. And they would all get in the car. And then for some reason, every Christmas Eve, after dad got everybody in the car, he'd go, I needed to go to the bathroom, and I got to go back in the house and go to the bathroom. So that when they came home, Santa would have showed up and all the packages were under the tree, and then they could exchange gifts on Christmas Eve. And then they had this wonderful blessing for the big people, which was the ability to sleep in on Christmas morning. It does have an appeal, okay? What are your Christmas celebrations going to be? Right? I mean, you know, they can get complicated. You know, you got one set of in-laws, another set of in-laws, then they get like divorced and remarried, so you got to eat four Christmas dinners, right? And we, you know, we think about these things, you know, and some of us have traditions like we got to go see the Nutcracker or the Messiah, or actually Lynn and I went and saw a little one-man show of A Christmas Carol over at the Bradley. Saw some of you there. It was a great time. So, you know, so we do these things that make our Christmas Christmas, don't they? But is that like the main event? Of course not. You're here on Sunday morning, and we know the main event has to do with the birth of Jesus. And a really good place to kind of see, like, what are the essentials of celebrating Christmas is to look at the first Christmas and how those people responded. You know, the shepherds in the field, Mary and Joseph and so forth. And so that's what I'd like to do this morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be reading from verse 8. The opening part of the chapter, you're probably pretty familiar with the story, right? Caesar Augustus, Octavian, during his reign, a decree is given that everybody needed to go register in their ancestral homeland. And so Mary and Joseph, who live in Nazareth, Mary is like 9 months along with the baby Jesus. They have to hike to Jerusalem. That route is the shortcut, 60 miles. But if you're a good Jew, you wouldn't go through Samaria. So it's a 90-mile walk. They arrive in Bethlehem, you remember, and it's time for her to be delivered. There is no room in the inn, so she gives birth apparently in a stable because the only place to lay the baby is a manger. That's a feeding trough for livestock. That's how Jesus is born. That's where we're going to drop into the story now with what comes next. So I invite you to stand as we read the Word of God. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much for this story, Lord. We thank you for the truth of it, for the fact that your son did indeed come to earth, born of a virgin. And Father, right now we would ask that as you have given us this, your word, which we know to be truth, that you'd open this word in our hearts. Holy Spirit, would you sweep into our hearts now with great power? Take control of our thoughts. Bring this word to life in everyone in this room, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you have a seat, please? Okay, so we kind of see a template here as we go through this of Christmas celebration, and it makes sense to look at the first one, right? Just the very simple elements that are here. And of course, the first piece that is here is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, it's like a birthday party, right? And in order to like go to a birthday party, it would make sense to know the kid whose birthday is being celebrated. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't like go hang out at Chuck E. Cheese on Saturdays going to other people's birthday parties, right? All right, so it makes sense, right, that you would need to know him. And that's actually the first thing that happens is the shepherds are given this incredible news about the coming of Jesus. I mean, they're out there just kind of doing their thing. I mean, what shepherds do is they take care of the sheep, and if the flocks are out in the fields at night, they need protection. You know, they need somebody watching over them and taking care of them. And so these are just ordinary schmoes, right, out in the fields at night taking care of their sheep. And then it says this angel of the Lord shows up. And by the way, angels, they frighten you when they show up. And it says, right, they were very afraid. And the glory of the Lord shows up. Now, I don't know what you imagine that looks like, but I'm just thinking like overwhelming light or something. We don't know what it is. But, you know, obvious that something really weird, powerful, important, supernatural, spiritual is happening. And the shepherds then are confronted with this angel. They're frightened. And the angel says, do not be afraid. He says, do not be afraid. Why? Because I'm bringing you news. I'm bringing you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So this is joyful news. And then he says that for unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So he says three things about this baby. Savior means he comes to save. From what? Well, from all human affliction and infirmity. From the effect of the fall of humankind and every wickedness and every evil, the fruit of which is, well, tears and broken relationships and captivity to habits that enslave. It is sorrow, disease, illness, death itself. Jesus saves from all of those. And he saves us from the consequences of our sin that we might have everlasting life and live forever. That's pretty good news. And also, he is king. It means he is a good and perfect and immortal king that will rule and reign over all and bring everlasting peace. Anybody go for peace? Yeah, you read the news, you go, oh my goodness. Or maybe you need peace in your house. Or maybe you need peace in your own heart with yourself. And then finally, the idea that he is Lord. He is God in the flesh. So these shepherds, they hear this incredible story. And, you know, I would think that would, like, get me pretty, like, going. But God's not done with him yet, is he? Because it says, and suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host who joined the angel. Now, you know, we're kind of informed by, you know, maybe little picture books or we're informed by movies we have seen and so forth. And when I think about that heavenly host, by the way, that means the armies of heaven. So there's a multitude. That's like the literal word translation, gazillion. Okay, so it's like a gazillion of these army angel warriors of heaven, and they show up. The picture I have in my mind is of like the heavens being filled with them. But it says suddenly there was with the angel. You know, so the first picture is like an angel talking to these guys. That heavenly host is not up there. So I'm just saying this is like just an absolutely overwhelming scene of being surrounded by like thousands upon thousands of angels from heaven, like big and shiny and glowy and scary and everything. And then they say, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. You can't celebrate Christmas unless you know the baby whose birth is being celebrated. Those of us that came to Jesus as adults, I did at age 39, those of us that came to Jesus as adults, everybody I talked to, they have kind of this common experience of having a moment where they kind of go, whoa, where suddenly it becomes real that there is a living God that is enormous, that is talking directly to you, that has come right into your space. That's what the shepherds are experiencing in that moment. And so it's like the hair standing up on the back of your neck kind of a thing. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? But by the way, you know the bit in the Christmas Carol about no crying he makes? Jesus cried. And it didn't dampen the celebration one bit. But the shepherds have this incredible experience. And so then they go, and the angel, by the way, he says, you're going to have a sign. Like, I want you to know this is real. I think, what do you mean this is real? Like, that the place is full of angels. It's like, are you kidding me? But there's going to be a sign. You need to go into Bethlehem, and you're going to find a baby in a manger. By the way, that's an unusual place for a baby to be, is in a feeding trough, wrapped in swaddling clothes, in rags. And so what it says they do is they go there. Now here's the deal. When you hear the good news about Jesus, if you've heard it, maybe you're hearing it today for the first time, I don't know. But if you hear the good news of Jesus, it's going to point you towards a Savior. And the invitation is, go check it out. And let me tell you what happens when you check it out. When you check out the news of Jesus, that one came that will set you free from captivity. He will release you from fear and anxiety and guilt and shame. He will take you to a place where you experience like indescribable love, where you will step into peace, where your life will be filled with joy. You know how you find out that's true? Decide to go check it out. So I would offer that invitation to anybody in this room that hasn't come to Jesus yet. Come check it out. Like just this Christmas season, I know it's going to be crazy busy in these coming hours. Set some time aside and go, you know what? Jesus, if you're like real, would you like touch me? Would you connect with me? And you know how he answers a prayer like that? Yes, yes, and always yes. The first foundation of celebrating Christmas, you just got to know Jesus. Now what follows, these shepherds, like they get it, right? So they go there and they see it's like the real deal. It says they go in haste, they find Mary and Joseph, the baby lying in a manger, and they're like over the moon with excitement. And when we step through what happens next, we're going to see like four ingredients that I would offer to you need to be in our Christmas celebration. And so there's a little checklist here, and I know I probably should have preached this like 6 weeks ago, right? Before you like plan what you're going to do like today and the night and tomorrow and tomorrow night and then and the day after that. Because maybe these things are missing, but if they are, that's okay. There's plenty of time to catch up, okay? But the first thing that they do, it says that they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So they respond to the, like, go check this out, and they go. And then when they saw it, verse 17, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Basically, they go, it's real, now they can't shut up about it. You know, if you experience something pretty cool, you want to share it, don't you? I know I do. I had an experience just this week. Wednesday, late in the day, Lynn and I were like doing like errands, and we found ourselves closer to Putnam than to home, and with no plan to cook dinner at home. So, restaurant. So we're in this restaurant over in Putnam. It was great, by the way. I'll give you a recommendation later if you want to know. We're having a great time over there, and the phone rings, and the place was noisy, and the phone rings, and I look, and it's my son-in-law, Noah. And so my first thought is, uh-oh. So I answer the phone, instead of like swiping it and putting it back in my pocket. And he goes, Mike, can you see the moon? I said, well, actually, I'm in a restaurant. He says, we got to go outside and look at the moon. And then he described, he said, there's this most amazing ring around the moon. Anybody else see that on Wednesday night? No? I see, a couple people saw it. I know that Ethan Berrielt saw it because he posted a picture of it on Facebook. And what happened is like the little high ice crystally clouds that were coming in advance of like yesterday's rainstorm, they were starting to wisp over the moon, and there was a spectacular ring around the almost full moon. By the way, the moon was full last night. I saw a little meme that said, if Christmas wasn't weird enough with family and alcohol, now we got a full moon. I don't get the alcohol part, but you know what I'm talking about. Okay. But basically, the full moon, or the almost full moon, had a spectacular ring. He's so excited he had to tell me about it. And Ethan was excited enough, he took a picture and put it on Facebook. And you know, that's what happens when you see something. Now, what is cooler? The Son of the Living God coming to save you and to become a perfect king and bring you peace, God on earth. What's cooler, that or the full moon with a ring around it? Jesus, right? And so they go and they tell everybody. So here they are in their Bethlehem. They're going, well, you wouldn't believe what's going on. The Savior is like over there in a stable. The Messiah has come. The promised King has come. And they can't shut up about it. Now, I want to reflect that into our Christmas celebration. Who are you going to tell? You don't have a lot of time, but I don't know. We're doing a little family gig this afternoon. We'll be out in public. We'll be sitting around some family tables with some different extended family. Maybe you're like me and have some Christmas shopping yet to do. Anybody else? Anybody like me? John, I'm with you. Phil, I'm with you, buddy. Okay. We're too busy today, so I'll shop Christmas Eve. But we're going to be in public, right? So here's a challenge for you, right? If like the first response of those celebrating the birth of Jesus is to tell other people about it, who are you going to tell? And if we look back in retrospective over the last month here, we've been so blessed in this church to be able to tell a lot of people, because we had people here. I mean, sadly, one sanctuary full was for a funeral, but we got to tell them about Jesus. And then we had some other events here, and many of you helped. I'm just praising the Lord for all the hard work to create, to set the table, right? To tell people that are far away from God this incredible news, that God loves them so much that he sent his only son, and that's what we're celebrating. We're not celebrating Santa. We're not celebrating presents. And some of us are celebrating food, but that's not the main event, right? It's Jesus. And we have a chance to tell people. That's the first essential to our Christmas, is to proclaim Jesus to those that are far away from God. As we continue to step through this story, it says, so they saw it, they made known the saying. And then verse 18 says, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Do you take pause to have like a little wondering going on at Christmas time? Or are you just basically driving from like one event to the, right? I mean, mentally and emotionally just pounding your way through the events? I mean, do you take pause and go, wasn't it great to be a little kid at Christmas time? Right? There's a little kid present. Right. Oh, there's another one. Is it good to be a kid at Christmas, Robert? Is it good to be a kid at Christmas? It is, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Nothing happened this week in our family was Lynn's car was in shop. She watches granddaughters from early in the morning until midday a couple days a week. And so I happened to be over, that's not normal for me to be at my granddaughter's house when she woke up on whatever day that was, Thursday morning, like 6:20 in the morning. And she comes to the top of the stairs and she looks like, Grandpa, said, Grandpa, like, what are you doing here? And the very first thing she wanted me to do was look at the Christmas tree, right? Very first thing, Grandpa, look. She's four, right? Big eyes. Wasn't that great when you were little? Like the Christmas music and elves and reindeer and, you know, and snowmen and then the prospect of packages under the tree and the lights. When I was little, I remember one of the, I still do it, is lay down at the foot of the Christmas tree and look up through the lights and the lights reflected off the ornaments. It's like, did you know as a grown-up you can still have that at Christmas? I mean, think about what the God of the universe did. I mean, if this is the universe, it's like, this is like, there's a galaxies that way. You go the farthest galaxy that way, that's over here. And there's galaxies that way. The farthest galaxy that way is over there. You know how big Jesus is? Bigger. You think about time, right? Like, you know, like the creation of all things begins, and there's going to be an end. That's all of time. You know, in terms of time, you know where Jesus is? Infinitely before, infinitely after. He's bigger. And this Jesus, who was that way from forever ago in heaven, decided he was going to leave all of the privileges and appointments and power of being God and come into a stinky little stable and be born of a virgin as a baby. So I don't, if that doesn't make you go, wow, it's amazing what God did. He came and became one of us. And in each and every one of our lives, he speaks by his Spirit and by his word to us and says, I came for you. I came for you. And I came and lived a perfect life that you couldn't possibly live. And then I gave that life on a cross for you that you might not bear the punishment, the guilt, and the burden of all your junk, but rather be welcomed into the presence of my Father, invited to the banquet table, and to live forever and ever and ever and ever and more in peace and in joy in a realm of indescribable love. If that doesn't make you go, wow, I would offer to you that in all of the busyness, we need to just kind of sit back and go, wow, and just take time to wonder at what God has done for us. That's the second essential. The first is tell people about him. The second is wonder at how amazing he is and how amazing the Christmas story is. Verse 19, we get to Mary. So the shepherds come and they kind of burst in on Mary and Joseph and share what the angels had to say. But, you know, she's had other stuff going on, right? I mean, here she is like 10 months earlier. She's like a peasant girl. I don't know, what, 14, 15 years old, something like that, living in a little like out of the way place. And she actually has a pretty good gig going because she's engaged to a guy who like has a job because he's a carpenter. And in Matthew's gospel, it says he's a righteous man. So he's a godly guy. He's a good guy. And not only that, the job he has, like these shepherds, right? If these guys have wives, guess where they are like on Christmas Eve? They're like out in the field, okay? But guess where a guy like Joseph would be? He would be like with his family, with his kids. So she's like kind of won first prize where she lives. And then the angel Gabriel shows up, and guess what? I'm going to flip your world upside down because you're going to have a baby, and you're going to have a baby before you're ever with Matthew, and that's going to create all kinds of problems. And then this baby is going to be the Son of the Living God, the Son of the Most High. That's what's going on in her life. And now the shepherds come in and say, you know, this baby that's born, you know, so, yeah, well, I know all about that. Thank you, Mandy, for singing Mary, Did You Know? She knew a lot, but there's a lot she didn't know. What says here is that Mary, verse 19, treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. This idea of treasuring and pondering is actually the third essential to our Christmas celebration. See, to treasure something is to take note of it, take account of it, see that it's of great worth, and then do something to protect it. Actually, the Greek word that is there, it has to do with like making a list. And I remember some years ago, we had some jewelry that we thought might need to get named like in our homeowner's policy, just to be insured. And what the insurance company said we needed to do was to make a list of what that was, take pictures of it, and get it appraised. Okay, so God has done this incredible stuff in Mary's life. He's done incredible stuff in your life too. Did you know that? And you can just kind of look back over the whole history of your life, or maybe the last year, or maybe the last 2 weeks. And there are things that you can treasure up, evidences of God's goodness. I mean, maybe you don't really know the Lord, but I mean, he gave you like a mom and a dad and gave you life. And there are all these blessings of life. And you can just think about those and you treasure them up. And then it says she was pondering them. So I'm thinking she's like thinking about this stuff. Like the angel said, you're going to have a kid who is God. And then her cousin says, blessed are you among women. I think, yeah, no kidding. I'm going to raise a boy that can't sin. Parents, think about that just for a minute. Jesus, clean your room. Already did, Mom, because I love you so much. Blessed are you among, you know, so she's thinking, what's going to be like to raise a kid that can't sin? And then what it's going to be like when he is the Savior of the world and is going to usher in a new kingdom? What's it going to look like? Mary, did you know? There's a lot of stuff she didn't know. At that point, she has no idea he's going to get nailed to a cross to give his life for us, that we might be saved and we might become citizens of his kingdom, knowing that he's coming back. She didn't know any of that stuff. And so she's like wondering, like, what is this about? Like, what are the patterns that are here? How does this apply? You know, we can do this with the things in our lives. And I'm going to give you a little practical thing I think we can do, which is just kind of think about, like, your life and the touches God has had on your life. And maybe even make a list. And then ask the Lord, say, Lord, show me, like, what are you doing here? What is the what are the patterns that are here? What does that look like? I got to thinking about this week. And there were two events that occurred in the last hours, or the last couple of days, that just shouted at me about this. And I'm going to share them with you, knowing that I have a pattern in our family that if I mention somebody in a sermon and didn't ask their permission, I have to give them $5. So I'm going to have to give $5 to a couple members of our congregation. Neither one of them are here this morning, but I'm going to give them $5. Okay, one of them is Lori Neeland. Okay, some of you know that Lori is battling non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He got diagnosed a while ago. He goes through a bunch of chemotherapy. Things are looking pretty good. He had a scan like a week ago Friday, and maybe it was a little before that, but he found out that he had like a little nodule in his lung and they needed to take a look at it. And so he had surgery to get that nodule looked at on Thursday, and it turns out it's lymphoma. So the cancer is like newly in his lungs. So that's like pretty tough news, right? So go back to Monday last week. I get this text from Lori. He's in the middle of this whole thing. The text says, would you be willing to receive a dumb joke every day? By text message. You getting dumb jokes from Lori? Anybody else getting dumb jokes from Lori? Yeah, okay. And I go, sure. And he goes, well, you know, if you don't like it, you can just opt out. I go, okay. So like the day he's going to have the surgery, I get a text from him in the morning that says, what do you get if you eat Christmas decorations? Answer, tinselitis. Okay, the day he gets the news he has cancer. Your kid's afraid of Santa Claus. What do you think the diagnosis is? Claustrophobia. This is a guy that it's like he's dealing with cancer. And this is what he's sharing with the people in his lives, right? Joy and laughter. How do you do that? You have to have like peace and hope in your heart to do that, don't you? Where does that come from? Well, Beverly, right, she's battling cancer and she had some surgery and she's had a couple of chemo infusions. I think her number two was on Friday. And I see this post on my Facebook when I get up early Thursday morning. I guess she put it up on Thursday. And it's a picture of Bev with her head shaved on one side and a big grin. Some of you have seen this picture. And the other is with this very attractive hairdo. And here's what it says. It says, meet Cassandra. She's now part of my new wardrobe, smiley face. Friday, that was the day before yesterday, we're saddling up again for more of the great adventure. This past Monday was another mile marker for us. At 4 p.m., our dear friend and hairdresser, Terry, lovingly shaved my head. Bruce, Terry, and I prayed first, which helped me a lot. My Bible study was praying from a distance. This was by far the most difficult thing I've had to do. But we're on the other side now. Cassandra, my wig, joins me sometimes, and usually I have a hat of some sort on because it's cold out there. Tomorrow will be chemo number two. It's a great way to spend a rainy day, LOL. I'm again praying for minimal side effects. I really want to get through Christmas and New Year's. True confession, I'm a foodie. Out-of-state family will be around. I've got people to see and places to be, but whatever happens, we'll still be celebrating Christ's birth, the day that changed our world forever. Thanks so much for your continued prayers. So I'm thinking about Mary treasuring and pondering, like events and what do they mean. And then these two things just jump into my heart and my life. Lori and Bev's battle with cancer. And yesterday morning, we're in men's Bible study. We're working our way through Romans. We come across these words. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. You know, so it's a picture that somebody that is receiving blessings from heaven has hope that actually abounds, it overflows to other people. And I go, Jesus, you're real. You're real in the lives of our brother and our sister whom we love. And we're seeing the truth of your word just come to life. Just evidence that this whole Jesus thing is real. I would offer to you that if you just take pause this Christmas, or maybe you're like me and thinking, well, actually what I really want to do this is like right after Christmas when it's a little quieter. And think about the treasures God has given you and ask yourself, what are you saying to me? What does it mean? And you know what? It means a whole lot more than the trivialities of Christmas celebration. Because the living God is at work. He's at work in this room right now. He's at work in our lives, and he's the real deal. Jesus really did come. And he really does save. And he really is the King. And he really is God. It's real. And the evidence is everywhere. I got one more to go here, which is I'm going back to being a kid as Christmas. And, you know, there's a lot of anticipation, right, about Christmas? Anticipation. And then of course, comes the blessed morning, not Christmas Eve, morning, when you get your presents. And I remember, I just have a vivid recollection of a particular Christmas. And I got two things I really wanted that Christmas. One was a gray plastic model of an Air Force plane called a B-58. It was like this Delta Wing supersonic plane, and I was like 7 years old. I thought it was the coolest thing ever because I'd seen a picture of one, like with these afterburners, all these flames coming out back and go like 2,000 miles an hour or something. I was like, I actually have one of these to play with. And the other thing I got was an Erector set. Some of you guys remember those. Okay, they're like real little metal things with nuts and bolts so you can make stuff. So I was really excited. I got this stuff. And then, of course, you know, the rest of Christmas Day goes like it's supposed to in our house at the time. You know, Mom had her special Christmas breakfast recipes, and we ate all that. And then we had that roast beef dinner, and there were, you know, friends and family and good cheer and all that stuff. And what I remember very distinctly was that same day being in my room alone, and the sun had gone down. You know, so it's like 6 o'clock on December 25th, 6-year-old, 7-year-old day, year, whatever that was for me. It was a long time ago. And I just kind of remember like looking at those toys, and I played with the other toys. I think one of them already like broken or something. Another one needed batteries, then it didn't have any. And just going, is that it? A letdown, right? And we had this big celebration, and it just like that worldly stuff just didn't satisfy. So is that it? I want you to see what the shepherds do. If you look at verse 20, right? So they went and found Mary and Joseph, verse 16. Verse 17, they tell everybody they're excited. All who hear wonder. Mary is pondering and treasuring things. And then verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned. Where'd they return to? I would offer to you they returned to like watching their flocks at night. They like went back to work. It's kind of like it's going to happen to all of us after Christmas. You know, like the order of things is defined by the poem, The Night Before Christmas. Now we're talking about 'twas the day after Christmas. What's that look like in your life? What's it look like in our lives? Right? The same lousy commute, those jerks at work. Or maybe you're like really delighted and blessed where you work. But it's just back to ordinary life. And, you know, like doing laundry and doing dishes and toting wood for the wood stove, you know, and dealing with just the aches and pains or whatever afflictions you have. And now you're just back to life, right? And like, and I mean, you know the way we are as Americans, right? It's like, you know, by sundown on Christmas Day, basically going, okay, well, that's over. Like, when's Valentine's Day? Right? Isn't that the way we are? But this Jesus coming to earth and Jesus coming into our lives, says the shepherds returned, and this is what they did after they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. See, as Bev wrote, whatever happens, we'll still be celebrating Christ's birth, the day that changed our world forever. See, Jesus coming into the world, Jesus coming into my world and into your world, changes everything forever. And so December 26th and February 14th and July 4th and, you know, what's going down in 2025, whatever that is, you and I, all along the way, if we have Jesus in our lives, we have the incredible privilege of glorifying God. You know what that means? It means making him famous. It means pointing people towards his worth, and his wonders and his goodness and his love. And our whole lives are about that, pointing people to him and praising him. And so that's a challenge for you and for me. As we're going to celebrate Christmas, but what's next? A life giving glory to God. Well, Merry Christmas to you. This text here just shows us these patterns, and they belong in our patterns of celebrating Christmas. And first of all, you got to know him. Do you know Jesus? You can choose to know him in this moment, in this place. I'm going to pray in a minute. You can do it right there because it's a personal transaction between you and him. And he may be knocking on the door of your heart right now. You might be saying, here I am. I'm yours. Will you become mine? And for those of us that know him, tell somebody about him this Christmas. Wonder at him. Take time to do that. Don't wonder at the... Well, by the way, there's some cookies that are worthy of wonder, but wonder at him. Think about his blessings and what they mean. And commit to a life of giving glory to God. That's, I think, the message from the first Christmas story for our Christmas today, here and now. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for sending your one and only Son. We thank you for the reality and power of it. And Lord, I pray that you would just bring Jesus right to the top of our priorities, of our thoughts, of our affections, of our list of things that we're going to do in the coming days. And Lord, as you bring him to the top, help us to just experience the joy, the peace, to feel the warmth of your love expressed through him. And Lord, may we become the beacons of love, joy, peace, hope. We become the light that you've called us to be. This Christmas and for the rest of our lives in this flesh on this earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.